This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The news with Courtney coming up at 8:20 this morning. But right now, Boomer Esiason brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Hey, Boomer.
Oh, good morning. Are you guys at Gillette Stadium today?
Yeah, we are.
When is that going to end? I mean, sooner or later, you can't just keep doing it. It's like going to a funeral every week.
Yeah, it's not. There's the same optimism that sometimes existed in the past does not exist on the drive out on these Monday mornings. But
I legitimately feel for you guys, because you know why? For 18 years, I've been down here in New York, and I've been covering crappy football teams. And unfortunately, you guys are going to have to do that for the rest of this year, and it's just not going to be easy.
Yeah, I mean, in my adult life, I have to go back, I don't know, 25 years to the horror of a football game that was yesterday. It's horrendous football, Boomer.
It is, and especially offensively. You know, you play a game, and you think that you're going to win the turnover battle. You should be able to win the game, especially against a team that's hamstrung themselves at quarterback. You lose a game by Tyler Huntley. They have a hard time completing passes. I think it kind of tells you exactly where your team is and just how, I don't know, it's just offensively they're poorly constructed. They just don't have great players. And some players who are probably reasonably good at wide receiver aren't getting a chance to show what they can do, just simply because their passing game right now is about as inept as anybody in the NFL.
The temptation is to look at Bill and Gerard Mayo and compare them, and you know, we do that all the time here. Is 12 penalties, 104 yards, is that something that would happen under Bill Belichick?
I'm sure it happened a couple of times. I mean, sometimes, you know, especially in the NFL these days, with the lack of practice, the lack of accountability by some of the coaches in this league, and I'm not saying Gerard is one of those guys, but I just think that, you know, we've seen this time and again, week in and week out, there are teams that look like they are disinterested. And I think the defense actually played well for the Patriots yesterday. Why wouldn't they have, especially against Tyler Huntley? But the offense is just basically non-existent. It really, I mean, the passing game is, which the entire league is built on, by the way. And you saw offenses finally explode yesterday as we start entering now, you know, the part of the season where preseason is over with. Teams have played together now for a while, and they're putting up a lot of points. But the Patriots right now, and I told you this at the beginning of the year, while all the players seem to love Gerard Mayo, everybody knows in the NFL that the Patriots do not have a passing game what to speak of. And that's, like I said, really what the entire league is built on, maybe with the exception of a couple teams like Baltimore with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson just dominating games on the field.
So, Puma, what the hell are they waiting for? I mean, we get into this every single week. At one point in time yesterday in the game, you had more rushing yards by your running back than the quarterback had throwing yards. So what are they waiting for?
Again, I just keep saying I think they're just waiting to put him in. We're talking about Drake May, I'm assuming.
Yes, yes.
They're just waiting to put him in at the right time, and they just do not want – listen – they don't want to stunt his growth. I know it sounds ridiculous. I know that there were reports of a possible mutiny in the locker room. I don't know if that's true or not. I could believe that if you were a young wide receiver on this team and you weren't getting the ball and you feel frustrated and you want another guy out there to see if he can get something done, maybe, like, you know, on a broken play or something, they can throw the ball down the field. So I don't – you have to ask Gerard what he's waiting for why Drake May's not on the field. I thought this was a game possibly, especially in the second half, that would have done this. But it's just hard to really put your finger on as to when they're going to go with Gerard, with Drake May. And as I said, it can't be any worse than it is right now.
Well, Boomer, I was just going to say, in your many years in New York, I'm sure you've dealt with teams that are dealing with a bad vibe in the locker room. You bring up the mutiny. You have other players calling out each other, saying that they're playing selfishly. How does a Patriots team like this, that's in a downward spiral, correct course and make sure that it's not players going against each other or going against a team with or coach with a mutiny?
Well, it is impossible unless you start winning. And, you know, winning is the only way to actually get this thing straightened out. And now you got the Texans coming to town, and then you got the Patriots, and then you got the Jaguars. You got to go to the Jaguars over in London. I mean, you know, these next two games are not going to be easy for them, especially with the fact that the Texans have an offense that can go up and down the field. Now, I know Nico Collins got hurt yesterday, but they still have a number of weapons that can beat you down the field. Their defense is a lot better than the defense that they played yesterday, I can tell you that. So that's not going to be easy. Going to London's not going to be easy. And then they have the Jets and then the Titans. I mean, it's going to be hard for them to get out of this death spiral that they're in. And the only way you could do it is winning. And the more losing you do, the uglier it gets on offense, the more intensity there is in the locker room, and the harder it is to come out of this. I mean, for 20 years, we literally have been talking about how great this offense has been because of the quarterback and the coach and Josh McDaniels. We are so far away from that. We are on the other end of the spectrum. It's almost impossible to watch. And I think yesterday was probably one of the first times that Gillette wasn't sold out in the last 15 years.
Yeah, 100%, I would say. I don't know. I mean, they may call it a sellout. They may sell to, you know, I don't know. But it's just a completely, never mind, you brought up Brady, you brought up Belichick. The entire organization was looked at that way around the country, Boomer.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and it was the standard bearer. Everybody wanted to be like them. Everybody started to hate them because they were so good, and they were just so, detailed. The whole thing was good, and they had players. But, you know, when you have a good, solid offensive line and you have a quarterback who can manage everybody and manage the game and basically take the game over in the fourth quarter, you know, that's how you win. Right now, Jacoby's just hanging on by a thread. And he's just trying not to make a mistake, and he barely throws the ball down the field. So there is no, like, for a defense playing against the Patriot offense, there is no worry about getting the ball thrown over your head. That there's, you don't have to worry about it. You can put eight guys in the box and try to stop Stevenson, and then, you know, do another three and out and punt, and they're trying to play field position. You know, if there were a game for them to win, yesterday was that game. With Jalen Phillips out, with Tyler Huntley playing quarterback, the Dolphins' offense completely stunted. This was the game, and it was unfortunate it didn't happen for them, and this is one of the reasons why you have the bickering in the locker room, because that's exactly what losing does. It's a losing mentality, and it's almost impossible for the coach to overcome that.
Boomer, your Maryland brother on the Patriots broadcast, Zoe, said it was the worst loss post Brady yesterday, and I think it's for all the reasons you just listed. I would just, as a Patriots observer, I'm not expecting this team to be great again for a while. It was a great run. We're all grateful for it. But I just look at Robert Kraft and the finances of this organization. You can be better than what they are, and all it would have taken was a little more money on the coaching staff and a little more money on the offensive line, and you have a team that may have three wins at this point.
Yeah, it always starts with at the top. And, you know, for the longest time, Bob Kraft was the biggest supporter of Tommy and Billy. and Tommy and Billy kept that organization together no matter who they brought in, no matter how much money they saved by getting rid of guys like Ty Law and Richard Seymour at the height of their careers, and they were still able to win. I think they have committed to starting over, and it all begins with Drake May. You see what Jaden Daniels doing in Washington. So That quarterback and Caleb Williams yesterday, by the way, and Bo Nix, all three won games yesterday, but all three are the future of their respective franchises, and their fan bases are really starting to galvanize around those quarterbacks, and that's why it's so important. And hopefully Drake May will get on the field, and he'll show some of the excitement that these other three quarterbacks are showing, and the Patriot fan will then re-engage around that player. My own feeling is when I look at these other teams, who these other quarterbacks are playing with, whether it be coaches or players around them, the Patriots aren't even remotely close to those other three franchises. And I can't believe I'm even saying that.
Yeah.
Just because of the history. So Drake May's the future. When he gets on the field finally, that's what's going to either ignite the fan base, or it's just going to get worse as the season goes on. And then the offseason is going to be really, really important for them for two reasons. One is going to be how much money are they going to be spending in free agency. The Patriot fan can believe in the ownership and who they draft in the draft, because they're going to have a top five draft pick, obviously.
All right, time for the question of the week for Boomer, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Boomer, how much of the dysfunction...
Actually, the Patriots need some McFarland Energy.
Amen.
How much of the dysfunction, if there is any, between Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh is responsible for the Jets' issues?
I just think the Jets lack any creativity offensively. And Aaron's 40 years old. He's getting the crap beat out of him the last two games. He's gotten hit pretty good. And that lack of creativity is because this is the way Aaron wants to play offense. You know, if he were out in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, or down in Miami with Mike McDaniel, or even with Ben Johnson in Detroit, it wouldn't be like this. You'd see guys moving all over the place. You'd see a lot of different formations. The Jets are pretty vanilla. They're pretty plain. And I think that's the way that Aaron Rodgers wants it. But I also think that, you know, Rob Saleh basically has no say whatsoever when it comes to the offense. It's Aaron Rodgers. It's Nathaniel Hackett. And believe you me, they're going to be hearing it this morning. And I know that they've heard most of it yesterday already down here from their fan base. And this morning is going to be a bloodletting, I'm sure.
So, speaking of McDaniel, is it fair to question his offensive genius status based on how he's done without Tua?
Well, I would just say this. Ask Bill Belichick how it feels to play without a quarterback. I mean, you know, if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win, and that's just basically the way it is in this NFL. And Tua was a surgeon with Mike McDaniel, and they were on the same page. Now, all of a sudden, you got Tyra Huntley, the fourth quarterback down there in the Dolphins, who's been there for 3 weeks. That's virtually impossible. The fact that they actually won this game is more of a testament to his coaching, because this would, like I said earlier, this was a game that I fully expected them to lose. And the fact that they won it, it's because of the inability of the Patriots, of course, but to go on the road in the NFL with your fourth quarterback and win a game, you know, that says a lot about the coach.
Boomer, one of the things I think is the biggest issue for us fans down here, and I don't know if you've ever seen this as a player or as an analyst, is they keep talking about the plan, but the issue, it seems like, between Gerard Mayo and Elliott Wolf, they're not on the same page when it comes to the plan at the quarterback position. As far as, I think if it was up to Mayo, he'd be playing Drake May, but it doesn't seem like it's completely up to him. Have you ever been involved where the coach doesn't have final say on depth chart and who's starting?
I hate that thought process. I think, you know, if you want to have a separation of powers, which I believe in the NFL, I think you don't want to give a coach too much power, and you certainly don't want to give a GM too much power. You want them to work in their lanes, and you hope that they can work together and they understand what the plan really is. So for Elliott Wolf, I want him to pick the players. I want him to ask the coaches, what kind of players are they looking for? What do we need? What should we go after in free agency? And what should we do in undrafted free agents? You know, what kind of players are we looking for? That's how you set the plan. Then it's up to Elliott Wolf and his group to go out and get those types of guys, whoever they are. And then it really should be up to the coach as to who is playing. I mean, because the coach has got to stand in front of the team every single day, and he's got to talk to that team. And if that team doesn't believe in what the coach is doing in terms of who is playing, then that's how you lose the respect of the locker room. That's how you have a potential mutiny happening. So the coach should always control who is playing, who's starting, and obviously the quarterback position being the most important. If he doesn't have the ability to say this kid should be playing, then that's part of the problem that the Patriots have. Now, I don't know that to be accurate. I'm going by what you said there, Wiggy, but if that is the case, that is not good.
I can't believe I'm asking this about this team, but do the Commanders have the best offense in the league?
They have the most exciting player in the league, that's for sure. You know, I just, again, I'm going to say it, and I'll say it until the season is over. I just hope that Jaden Daniels makes it through the entire season. There are a lot of plays he makes that are secondary plays, which is great. I mean, he's a great athlete, and that's part of the excitement of watching him play. But I would say also that he's a kid that has a lot to learn. The thing I love about him is when you hear his post-game press conference, he's humble. Like, he's almost embarrassed that things are going so well, because I think in his heart he knows that he's not seeing everything, doesn't know everything yet. He's just reacting athletically probably about at least a third of the game and making these incredible plays. So while that's great and that's fantastic, you know, he wants to basically dial it back and be a little bit more consistent.
Boomer, the weekly Bill Belichick power rankings for jobs next year is out for me. And today it is the Buffalo Bills. The way they ended that game, I know McDermott's been very successful. I know that they probably extended him recently. But I don't know how you have an end-of-a-game clock management worse than what Sean McDermott did yesterday against the Texans.
Well, maybe you should ask Dan Campbell about what he did with the Lions 2 weeks ago. Like, so, in other words, it happens all over the league each and every week. We get ourselves caught up in a situation. Even the Bengals yesterday, Joe Burrow throws an interception. If he doesn't throw the interception at the end of the game, they're most likely going to win the game. So, I don't know. I got a Hall of Fame quarterback in waiting in terms of Josh Allen. He's been everything to me. He's done everything I've ever asked of him to do. And now I put the ball in his hands late in the game. And, you know, first of all, the punt and where they ended up receiving the ball, I guess it was at the 4-yard line. That's a tough spot to be in, especially if you want to try to win the football game. And I think if they would have ran the ball three times and got no yards, people would be screaming about that. So if the players don't make the plays and they don't come through in those big moments, the coach is always going to be blamed. Now, I give the coach a lot of credit because he stood up there after the game and he said, it's my fault. I blew the end of the game just like Dan Campbell did 2 weeks ago. But ultimately, it comes back down to the players making the plays. Either they make it or the defense, in this case, the Texans, they make the plays, and that's exactly why they won.
All right, Boomer, it's got to get better because it can't get any worse. So we will talk to you again next week.
Can you say, like, enjoy the funeral? I mean, what do I say? I don't really know what to say to you guys.
Sympathy. Sympathy.
Yeah. Keep your head up or something.
Yes, sympathy. Right, keep your head up, guys. I know it's tough, but hang in there.
All right.
I've been covering the Jets for 20 years, so I know exactly what you're – and played for the Jets, by the way. So hang in there.
All right. Thanks, Boomer.
All right. See you guys.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The big breaking news yesterday, Jeremy Swayman has signed an 8-year, $8.25 million a year deal with the Bruins. So big news for the Bees. And the Patriots fell to the Dolphins yesterday, 15 to 10. Jacoby Brissett completed 18 to 34 passes for 160 yards. The only touchdown of the day for the Pats came from Ramondre Stevenson, who didn't start the game but came in during the first. Tonight we've got Saints at Chiefs, kickoff at 8:15. Scheim, let's start a little winning streak for you. Who are you going to go with here?
So I'm going to go with Justin Watson, receiver for the Chiefs, 25-plus yards receiving. I think that is the lock of the night with all of the receiver injuries on the Chiefs.
All right, there you go. In college football for this show, BC fell to UVA in a terrible second half. Georgia beat Auburn 31-13. Go Dogs. And UMass dropped one to Northern Illinois 34-20. Big upset in college football, though, when it comes to Vanderbilt, Alabama.
How about that?
That was nuts. Yeah.
How about that one?
Nuts.
Huh? What's the kid's name? Vega?
Diego? God.
Yeah, man.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
The fifth year, like, he's like 32.
Yeah.
His name is Diego Pavia.
Pavia.
Okay.
Diego,
all right. There you go.
It's what? German for a whale's vagina.
Yes.
Hell of a win by them.
Today only, stop at your local Shaw's or Star Market for their daily deal. Today's daily deal is cheap chicken for $6.99 each. That's right. Cheap chicken is $6.99 each. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you. 55 degrees and cloudy. Afternoon high of 64. Greg, Nick Saban never lost to Vandy.
No.
Kalen DeBoer has a rough trip ahead. But that is going to be a wet day here in Boston. Hopefully it clears up tomorrow.
I mean, we talk about it. We speculate about it all the time with Bill. Does Nick Saban return? Does he miss it and return to college football at some point?
Ah, boy. The only one I could see that would be the sort of the mecca would be Notre Dame, like taking Notre Dame back to a national championship. Like, I don't know of any other program that would have. Michigan just won. Texas right. is rolling. Like, I feel like Notre Dame, maybe, if Freeman doesn't, you know, last there.
I guess because it seems like he walked away because of all the NIL yeah. stuff and all that. Like, that stuff is still going to be big in college football. So, does Nick Saban want to deal with that kind of nonsense? And does he like the cushy gig he got now on college football game day?
But would he come back with Bill, like, just to do it? Like, if Bill goes to the Bills and Nick's – no, I'm serious. Like, pays Nick Saban – $10 million a year to be the defensive coordinator.
Oh, Bill looks like he's enjoying his life from the looks of Jordan's Instagram account.
You see the sweatshirt?
Yeah, Taylor Swift sweatshirt. Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to get to Courtney in today's news next while we wait for Gerard Mayo, who will join us at 9. And during the news, we'll get to how creepy is it. One man went to great lengths at an odd location to try to get foot photos. And so we'll get to that coming up next. Well, there is news breaking here at Gillette Stadium, and it is not good news, Curtis, when it comes to the New England Patriots.
It keeps getting worse. This is obviously far more important than the poor play. Per Boston 25, 2 minutes ago, a Patriots safety, Jabril Peppers, is facing charges of assault, strangulation, and drug possession after an altercation in Braintree early Saturday morning. According to police, Jabril Peppers was arrested after officers responded to a disturbance at their home. The caller to 911 indicated that there was an altercation between two people. Peppers is being charged with assault and battery, strangulation, and possession of a Class B substance believed to be cocaine.
Okay. And that he certainly did not play yesterday. I think it was...
shoulder.
It was noted as a shoulder.
God.
But that, I would assume, was not the issue. Right move, I guess, not playing him, and that will be that will move through the justice system and will be adjudicated at some point.
But if they had to know about this beforehand, so what is the point of making it a shoulder an injury instead of just saying, like, one of our guys got arrested?
Yeah.
And, like, I don't necessarily know if I agree with the way in which this was handled.
What was his injury status all week?
The only thing I remember about him this past week was Karen Garigian on Friday reacting to the Evan Lazar story about a mutiny did a follow-up where she spoke with several Patriots. And specifically, she noted in the column in Mass Live, or the Herald, I forget, I'm sorry, and Jabril Peppers said, I want to go on the record and hear me say, there is no mutiny here. We're good. So that was on Friday. That was the only time I recall.
Now, what is? Do we know what Gerard Mayo's curfew time is Friday night? Is it 2:30 a.m.? Was he? Was it before?
Wiggy would know better than I. But Friday, when you're at home, I don't think there's much of a
curfew. Friday's a regular day. It's not till Saturday when you stay in the hotel.
And I'm sorry. On Friday, he was ruled as questionable for Sunday's game with shoulder. So I guess the shoulder injury could still be a thing.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know if the right way to handle any of this stuff in terms of the build-up prior to, but they had to know that the police report was going to, come out.
And yeah.
You do know, or at least I would suggest that it's not the kind of thing that generally happens with this organization.
What's that?
It's not players doing this kind of thing.
Wasn't there a player last year who got arrested at an airport with two pistols?
Yeah, but I thought you were
I defended him, but I'm saying this is something that happens regardless of who the coach is. Like, players get in trouble and do stupid things. So I'm not gonna say this is Mayo's fault or anything like that.
No, I'm not suggesting it's Gerard Mayo's fault.
This doesn't happen.
I don't think it's happened a lot with this organization. I don't.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many. The Patriots players have had a pretty.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not good or bad. I don't know
dicey,
how much.
Well, yeah. Yes, there's. Yeah, I mean, there's, I, yeah.
I don't. I would. Right. I don't want to do that because I honestly don't know the totals. All I know is that whatever the Patriots had in mind for this season, we are 5 weeks into the worst possible scenario. Like, you're sitting here, and the team is just awful. The product's bad. Fans are disinterested or angry. And now you add this, you know, a guy that we all viewed as a pretty good leader. I mean, a guy that seemed like a kind of patriot we would all get behind is being charged with some pretty awful things.
And again, there was a 911 call made from the home, just to be clear.
From so let me just read this exactly. There was a, according to police, the police officers responded to a disturbance at a home. So I don't know whether it was his home or he was at another home. The caller of the emergency indicated there was an altercation between two people. Police say he's being charged with assault and battery, strangulation, and possession of cocaine, or Class B substance believed to be cocaine.
Okay.
The victim was treated by EMS at the scene. So I don't know who the victim was.
Oh, we don't know whether the victim was male, female. We haven't.
We don't know.
Okay.
Yep. So,
all right.
Well, but this is just like, and I think when you start to look at this team, obviously this is something that, you know, Gerard or Elliott Wolf has no control of. Just the on-the-field product, it's just a combination of, and I think, Curtis, you said it, of just a bad, and I don't want to say football team, because defensively at times they do a good job, and at times they look like they could be, you know, solid defensively. We know they run the ball well, but it's just, it's a bad passing game, and I think that stands out more than anything because you took a quarterback with the number 3 overall pick, and we all sit here and wonder, why isn't this kid getting an opportunity when the passing game product is so bad?
Can I ask a question to Greg's point, though? Because do we know what time this happened at?
Said Saturday morning.
So, like, if you're on the injury report, it's listed as questionable. Do you not have a curfew the night before? If this was early in the morning on Saturday morning.
It was two nights.
Yeah, it's technically Friday.
You can do whatever you want on Friday.
Friday, you can do whatever you
Especially
want.
Especially when you're not traveling the next day. You're just in.
Yeah, yeah, because, well, even if you are traveling, Friday's kind of like you can do whatever you want. Saturday's generally when you either travel to get on the airplane if you're on the road, or Saturday night you stay in the hotel.
But what time do you have to report for that? Late?
For what?
To
morning
the hotel.
Practice?
To the hotel.
It's probably not till like Saturday at like, you know, 5, 6 o'clock.
And there's a morning practice on Saturday.
Yeah, morning walkthrough on Saturday, generally around like, you know, 10 o'clock or something like that. Because they know some guys go out Friday night. 10 o'clock is like a walkthrough. And then if you are if it's on the road, then you get your bag and you go to the airport to travel. But if it's a home game, you do your walkthrough in the morning and then you got till like later on in the day, you know, like maybe like 5 or 6 o'clock before you got to report to the
hotel. If you're listed as questionable, you are still expected to be at that practice, expected to go through everything, correct?
No, you're expected to, if you know you're not playing, you're expected to go to treatment.
Okay.
So you just go to treatment, get whatever type of treatment you need on your injury. If you know you're not playing, you do that. You're kind of there to go through the walkthrough because if it's a week-to-week thing, you're not on injured reserve. So
I try to defer to my late mother Susan Hill's rule on this, which I've mentioned a million times, and that is nothing good happens after 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
She's
good.
Right.
Nothing good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's not good.
No.
We're struggling here.
I know.
But that's breaking news. So maybe we'll get to the news after Gerard Mayo. Gerard Mayo will join us at 9, I am expecting. It should be. It should be interesting.
I'm thinking we're getting a 9:45 this morning.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think 9 o'clock, Gerard Mayo will join us here at Gillette.
I don't know.
Yes. We'll
see him at 9.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. This is John from Gardner. John, good morning.
Good morning, good folks. It never rains, but it pours, huh?
Yeah, yep.
Let's just hope that was a fight between two guys and not other possibilities.
Yep.
Two quick points. Andy made a good point last night in the post game that you know, we're worried about Drake May being thrown to the wolves. They would have been nice if they got Gerard, some veteran guy that's maybe been a head coach or been around a while in another organization besides Cleveland, and given him some help. And number two, I think with Jacoby, I think he's so drilled it. This is conjecture. He's so worried about turnovers that a lot of those quick passes, Wiggy, when the guy's open, but just for a second, when you got to hit it, he's not throwing it at that time because he doesn't feel confident. And if the quarterback can't do that, you're screwed. Curtis, yeah. I said this pretty much Saturday, so excuse me for repeating. I'm worried that they're kind of grabbing the baseball model, Greg, that everything's coming down from the top. The ownership goes to the GM and the GM to the coach, and the coach is an inexperienced, non-established coach is kind of just there as a figurehead but not really running the show. So that's my big worry, big picture with
Wiggy,
this team.
That's what Wiggy believes. And so I guess it's possible. I don't know. I mean, if you dealt with a guy like Bill Belichick for 20-plus years who had complete control of everything and you were unhappy with the result of that, I guess unhappy with the result the last 3 or 4 years. I don't know how you could be unhappy with the overall result, which was extraordinary. But if you are unhappy with that, then you want to change the structure of your organization going forward, and that means that there's not one guy who has control over everything.
But I don't mind that element of two guys like a GM, like Boomer said, hey, here's what we're looking for from the coach's standpoint. We're looking for these type of guys to fit into this type of system. Okay, GM, go find us these guys. GM says, okay, I find you these guys. Here's who I think we should draft. Okay, we draft this guy. Now, coaching staff, evaluate, determine where that guy falls on the depth chart, start him, play him, whatever it is. I did my job as a GM. I brought you the guys, whether it's through the draft, through free agency, through trades. I just don't... There's no way you could tell me that Robert Kraft is telling to Elliot Wolf, don't play Drake May.
No, but you're assuming that Drake May fixes everything.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, but Gerard Mayo was not without blame. I mean, there were 12 penalties yesterday. Really sloppy Keon White, a couple stupid penalties.
Back to back
in that game yesterday.
And one that would have been backbreaking if not for an interception immediately after where you force a punt, but you have 12 men on the punt return, which yielded the first down for the Dolphins.
Yes.
Inexcusable.
Yeah. So there's a lot of it. The in-game part of it is not, the operation is not great.
No, but I put that on Mayo.
That's on Gerard Mayo.
Yes, but I've always said we'll judge Mayo on what he does on the field, operation-wise, situational football, how he manages the clock. I'm saying in this situation, there's no way that Robert Kraft is sitting there going, we drafted this kid number 3 overall, let's sit him.
Somebody is.
And I feel like that person that is, it's an Elliot Wolf decision. I blame Kraft for putting Elliot Wolf in that position to make that decision and be able to say, hey, even if your coaches might feel we should play this guy, you have the power to veto that and say, no, we're not doing that. That so makes sense to me.
All right. We got to take a break. It is a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium. And Gerard Mayo will join us coming up in about 15 minutes at 9. Well, the New England Patriots are 1-4 on this season after a disappointing loss yesterday. And you could talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We are at Gillette Stadium, and it is a Mayo Monday, and that means that Gerard Mayo will join us very, very soon.
Yep.
Coming up in just about 10 minutes or so, and a lot to talk to the head coach about as the Patriots turn it around, Wiggy, and get ready for your guy, C.J. Stroud, and the Texans. So,
and a quick update from NBC Boston. Jabril Peppers is scheduled to be arraigned today in Quincy District Court.
Ooh.
Okay. No comment. NBC 10 reached out to the Patriots. They had not heard back. So,
okay.
Not a, I mean, just awful. Awful. awful, awful. What else can go wrong? Just such a freaking awful season.
Who's he getting as his lawyer? You know who he needs to get.
Carpaccio. What is her name? Carpaccio. Yeah. That is the guy.
Yeah.
That is the one to get.
Yeah.
Is there any doubt that however this ends, Jabril Peppers ends up on the Raiders? Like,
which is weird because you said, like, you know, the reputation of him as a player, as one of the leaders of this team, one of the guys that everybody, you know, so the fact that he's got this situation going on.
Do you think Belichick will brag about bringing Peppers in on Pat McAfee today?
I mean, from a leadership perspective, he's really a guy that you could count on. I don't know, you know, who the leaders are that remain on this football team. I mean,
that aren't hurt.
We are, you know, we hear often that Jacoby Brissett is one of those.
I think Jelani, we talked to him defensively.
What happened with him yesterday where the guy, he just stopped running? Do you see, or the first quarter, he was right there to make a play on a Dolphins receiver.
Just give up.
And he just stopped.
Yeah.
Bizarre. But, everybody that's been a captain's either gotten hurt or gotten in trouble, pretty much. It's been a And Jabril Peppers felt like, on the field, old-school Patriots kind of safety.
Yeah.
Like a guy that was physical, very aggressive, accountable.
Because you're already dealing with the loss of Duggar, you know, who's also hurt as well. And then those were your two best safeties. And now who knows what's going to happen with this moving forward. I mean, it's just it doesn't help your team moving forward. But I think
– do you look back at the Judon thing now as being a mistake?
I mean, I thought it was just a mistake in the moment. You know what I mean? I said – you know, and that was my biggest thing. I was the one who said that last year in four games he had four sacks. And Gerard sat here with us last week and said one of the biggest issues that they had was their inability and their effectiveness to consistently get to the quarterback and put pressure on the quarterback. So you lose a guy like that who is productive on the field. I don't know what his numbers are like in Atlanta, but obviously a presence in that locker room. It's one of those situations where you look back and go, you know, wow, we could use a guy like him right now.
I sit back and say that's an even smarter move in hindsight. You got a third-round pick coming for him. This team's doing nothing, and Keon White is awesome.
Yeah, like, I'll give you credit that the third-round pick was something that I didn't expect you getting for him.
I sit back and say whatever he would have helped you with this year, you need all the picks you can get. I mean, this team still needs a big do-over. And I just go back, Greg, to the conversation where – Robert Kraft spoke at the owners' meetings following Mac's rookie year, where they lost to the Bills in week one of the wild card weekend of the playoffs. And it felt like, wow, okay, we had one bad pandemic Cam Newton year. We spent $250 million in free agency. The Pats are on their way back. And he said, it's been too long since we have won a playoff game. All they've done since then is spend no money and build a crappy roster. Like, you sit where they are. They're basically still on the ground floor of a rebuild. Where's the talent?
Well, I think the problem is this here. The glaring issue is when you look at this team, you go, all right, what's the glaring issue that could be affecting what your record is? And I think it's right there for everybody to see. The glaring issue is your quarterback position. But you drafted a kid number three to hopefully be the kid of the or be your franchise quarterback. So I don't understand how anybody, coaches, players in this building could sit there and go, why do we keep strolling Jacoby Brissett out there when our biggest problem is our inability to throw the football? And it's not because the receivers can't get open, because we would be like, that would be something we would be complaining about. It's because our quarterback's inability to throw the football.
And is that where the frustration's coming from, or is it the fact that they're holding him out to make sure he doesn't get hurt while these guys are all going out there giving their bodies every week?
I think the frustration for me as a player would be, why? Listen, we love Jacoby, but why don't we have Drake May in there?
It's about winning, not necessarily about the you know, hey, if we have to go out and play, why doesn't he?
Well, but even if it's about winning, who gives you a better chance to win? Like Bill always would say.
Well, they must think, if you believe there's a potential mutiny, they must believe that it's Drake May gives them a better chance to win.
Right, the players. But even with the coaches can't say he gives us the best chance of winning.
Alex Van Pelt probably thinks he gives them the best chance
of winning. You've won one game with him.
I know, but that's why he wanted him here. He knows his system. I don't know.
I mean, Alex Van Pelt is basically Shime's mashed potatoes.
Agreed. It's 8:56. I am always, however, on island time. Would you prefer to have Mac Jones right now over Jacoby Brissett?
No.
Yes.
You would? Yes.
Yes.
Nope.
Shime,
yes.
You would?
At least yes. at least it's fun.
Wow. Shime, take a lap.
856.
Come on.
I did.
Yes. No way.
Okay. Wow.
No
Shime.
Way.
100%.
I knew it.
I would. I like that
I
big
would.
Dog.
I would.
I like would all day no, long, would. Big dog.
I would.
All day all right. long.
We're going to take a break. I thank the head coach of the New England Patriots, Gerard Mayo, will join us next.